A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters, May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do it. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Welcome to Spiritual Queens Badass Podcast, the number one spirituality podcast on iTunes. My name is Emma Mumford and I'm your host. I'm the UK's leading law of attraction expert, award-winning life coach, 2 times best-selling author, manifestation YouTuber, speaker, and badass spiritual queen. I'm here to help you awaken and turn your dream life into an abundant reality and help you create your positively wealthy life full of happiness, abundance, and joy. I do this through sharing the power of law of attraction and spirituality. I hope my podcast will inspire you to raise your game and start living your best life today. Without further ado, let's get started with this week's episode. Hello, gorgeous souls, and welcome back to another one of my Spiritual Queens Badass Podcast episodes. Today, we have a familiar face with us. He has been with us many times before, so he needs no introduction, but we have the wonderful George Lizos with us today. So George, if you don't know, George is a spiritual teacher, psychic healer, Greek pagan priest, creator of Intuition Mastery School, as well as a number one best-selling author of Be the Guru, Lightworkers Gotta Work, and Protect Your Light, and host of the Lit Up Lightworker and Can't Host podcast. Welcome back to the show, George. How are you doing?
Hi, Emma. Thank you so much for having me. It's so lovely to be back to the podcast.
I feel like this is like your fourth or fifth time at this point.
Probably. We've done so much, and I'm so grateful to be back.
We can't get enough of you. We can't get enough. But for anybody who's brand new to your work, George, before we get into all of the goodness of your latest book, I want to know, and I'm sure anybody who's new to your work wants to know, when did you spiritually awaken? What's your story?
So it all started when I was 15 years old. I went through a very dark period of my life where I couldn't accept myself. I couldn't accept my sexuality. At the time, I was very Christian and very dogmatic in my beliefs. And I reached a very low point where I was ready to take my life. And that's when I had this realization that, you know what? I can just choose to learn to love myself, and I can let go of all these rules of the dogmatic Christianity, and I can learn to find different ways of working with the divine. And that's when I started my path of learning about myself, learning to forgive myself and my bullies, learning about self-love, discovering manifestation as well, and getting to empower myself. But really, the second awakening moment came when I was living in London, working a full-time job, while at the same time running my own spiritual business part-time, which I feel many spiritual entrepreneurs can relate with that, where we work a muggle job, but at the same time, we're working on our magic. And I reached a point where I burnt myself out. I was working full-time, then I would come home and I would start working on my business. Weekends were dedicated to that as well, up to the point that I woke up one morning. I intended to wake up and go to work, but my body just refused to move. I was completely burnt out. My body was exhausted, and it was like, I've had enough. And that's when I realized something had to change. So I got my travel bag and I went to Glastonbury. We both love Glastonbury. I always have like amazing spiritual experiences there. I did a past life regression. And in that regression, I saw myself as a prostitute in the past who became pregnant with one of the clients. And when the client found out, he stabbed me in the womb, killing the baby. And in that moment, I made this sacred soul contract that I would repress my feminine energy and solely focus and depend on my masculine energy. Hence why I tried to take my own life when I was 15. Hence why I was burning myself out, abusing my feminine energy with my masculine energy by exhausting myself and burning myself out. So I come out of the past life regression. I go out into the street, like tears running down my cheeks. And I'm like, I need to connect with the goddess, with the divine feminine. And right across the street was the goddess temple of Glastonbury. So like a crazy person, I walk inside, I storm inside, and I'm like, I go to one of the priestesses and I'm like, please help me connect with the goddess. I need to connect with the divine feminine. So she explained all about the Celtic goddesses, which although I loved, I'm not Celtic myself. I'm like, I'm Greek. So I wonder if I can find that same wisdom within the ancient Greek pagan tradition. So I go back to my Airbnb, search online, and that was the year that the Greek government had finally legalized Greek polytheism, the ancient religion of the ancient Greeks, like as a proper legal religion. And the Society of the Modern Pagans were running their first ever training for priests, like a priesthood training. So I booked my tickets to Athens, I traveled to Athens, and I trained in Greek polytheism. And that connection with my own ancestors, traditions, and spirituality really shifted things for me, gave me my second spiritual awakening, where I unlocked this wisdom of the past, at the same time the traumas of the past, and it directed me into a new layer and level of spiritual growth.
I love that, because there's so many different facets to your awakening, and I've heard multiple different versions of it every time I've asked you that question. But it's lovely to hear this in terms of how it's connected you to the Greek gods and goddesses, and how it's really, you know, shaped the way for your religion, your faith, your beliefs, your spiritual practice, and now obviously your latest book as well. And when you told me you were writing this book, I was so excited, because I was like, I cannot wait to hear your take on this and learn more about it, because I did theatre studies and A-level. So obviously we learned about the Greek gods and goddesses from obviously a theatrical kind of theology kind of way, in terms of, you know, the ancient plays and scriptures. So I loved it when I learned all about it, but I'm sure you're going to blow my mind with the actual facts and the actual, you know, the spiritual side of it that we can use. So we've spoken about goddesses before here on this podcast. We are not shy to talking about goddesses, but I want to know, George, who are the Greek gods and goddesses, and how can they help us manifest our dream life?
Thank you for this question. One of the main reasons I wanted to write this book is because whenever I would tell people I work with the Greek gods and goddesses, the response I would get was, oh, I love Greek mythology. And whereas that's exciting and I appreciated that, it also triggered me, because there's a difference between Greek mythology from Greek religion and spirituality. The gods in most books out there are portrayed according to their mythological stories and according to the reductive, simplistic, stereotypical way of thinking about them. Such as, for example, Ares is the god of war, Aphrodite is the goddess of love, Athena is the goddess of wisdom. And of course they are to that level, but there is so much depth. So the gods and goddesses, they are embodiments, expressions, multiplications of the whole universe. And the universe's functions and laws. So when you think about Aphrodite, for example, she embodies, she doesn't just guard or bring through, she embodies, she is the universal law of form, that which gives form to things. So when you think, for example, of waves crashing on the beach and that new mud that's being created there, when you think of bees pollinating flowers, when you think of humans having sex, that mingling of things, of different substances and the new offspring they create energetically and physically, that is Aphrodite. She gives form to things. So when you understand the gods and goddesses as laws and functions, then you realize they're not really outside of us. We don't pray for them in a transactional way so we can get something from them. We realize we are in an ocean of the gods. They're not stronger than us. They're not more powerful than us. They're extensions of us. And by working with the gods, we are embodying their essences and reminding ourselves of our own divinity.
I love that, because I guess it's a bit like archangels, isn't it? When you learn about archangels and working with angels, it's kind of like, you know, ask Archangel Michael for their help, ask so-and-so for their help. And it does kind of feel that kind of prayer to someone outside of you to help you. So I love how you put that, because it is true. They are a part of us, as we're all one. We're all part of the universe. So we're all part of each other. So yeah, I love that. And how can we start to open up that connection? Because some people might have heard of goddesses and, you know, like the spiritual terms and, you know, the stuff we know from books. But how can we start to open up to the Greek gods and goddesses?
So the way to open up with them and also bring manifestation into it is by working with the Greek wheel of the year. So you're familiar with the Celtic wheel of the year, as many people are familiar with it. It has like 8 festivals that follow the Earth's movement around the sun and the change of the seasons. Now, the ancient Greeks were divided into city-states, and each city-state had their own relationship with the Earth and their own wheel of the year. So what the modern Greek polytheists have done, they've created a common one that we can all follow. So it has 12 festivals, so one festival each month, again, following the change of the seasons. So right now, for example, that is March, while we're recording this, we are celebrating the spring equinox. And we're still celebrating the spring equinox, but we also call it Asclepia in honor of God Asclepius, who is a Greek god of medicine. So there is symbolism around that as well, but it's essentially the same kind of position in the wheel of the year. So by working with the wheel of the year, we work with both the divine feminine and the divine masculine, because every month we have a different festival guided by a different god. Sometimes it's a male deity, sometimes it's a female deity. And by working with the wheel of the year, we can set intentions in January and every single month work on those intentions according to the gods and the current festival that guide our manifestation efforts. For example, the spring equinox, we have increasing light coming into the world. Physical light, but also spiritual light, energetic light, life force energy that encourage us to take action towards our life purpose. So it's a great time to work with Athena and Hephaestus, who are the leading gods of the month. And they're very like powerful manifestation gods, because Athena is all about the strategy of manifestation and Hephaestus is about doing the actual work of manifestation. We can work with them and spring equinox, the increasing spiritual and physical light coming in, to further our work towards manifesting our desires. So that's one way to go about it. And then later on, we can talk about the new moon and full moon rituals, which is a more direct way to do this month after month.
I love that. And don't worry, I'm going to be probing you on all the rituals that we can do for sure. But what are the biggest misconceptions, do you think, that people have about Greek gods and goddesses?
Biggest misconception. First one is that there are evil gods and goddesses. People think about the mythology. They think about Ares or Hades, for example. Like usually when I tell people I work with the Greek gods and goddesses, they're like, oh, how can you work with like gods that fight and kill and they're jealous? That's not loving. Like how can you be like a loving spiritual teacher and talk about that? And that's because they're thinking about the mythology. So for example, Ares, the god of war. He's not really the god of war. He's the war of unbridled, raw energy. And it can be aggressive, combative energy. But sometimes the most loving thing we can do is fight. Because what happens when you're suddenly being attacked by someone out in the street? Are you going to send them love and light? No. You're going to fight back. You're going to protect yourself. What about when you see someone getting bullied? Are you not going to stand up for them? Yes, you are. And you can get into an argument. That is Aries energy. It's about bravery and it's about courage. So one misconception is that the Greek gods and goddesses are evil, which they're not. They are the universe. They're not part of the universe. They are the universe, and the universe is pure. The universe is loving. Another misconception is that the gods need our prayers. And therefore, we have a transactional relationship with the gods. We give them something, they give us something. We sacrifice, they grant us their grace. The grace is already given. A Course in Miracles says that the light has come. It's the same kind of understanding here. The gods have come. The gods are here. We just need to be aware of them and be aware of their divinity. That's also our divinity. So these are the main two misconceptions that people have about the Greek gods and goddesses.
And I think as well, it's information. Like I feel like I said, I learned about them through mythology. So then I have those, like you say, those preconceptions of, well, so-and-so is like this, and that's how I feel. And, you know, until you talked me through this work and talked me through, you know, all the different gods and goddesses. I was like, I had no idea any of this world existed. And that's why I'm so excited for this book to come out, because it's so powerful and it can help us in so many of our spiritual aspects, manifestation, healing, everything. And it's just something that I don't think is tapped into enough. So it's great to reframe it. It's great to hear the actual core energy and the actual essence of them, instead of, you know, like many things, how history and mythology and society have kind of portrayed those things, for sure. So, George, who is the go-to god or goddesses for love and abundance, or anywhere you feel called to go to? We've got a few areas. We've got a career, life, purpose, and I'm sure everyone listening is going to have different, you know, different areas they want to work on. So who are our go-tos we should work with?
So our go-tos for, let's go with abundance and manifestation in general. And for manifestation, I would say Athena and also Hephaestus, who are the gods of the month right now in March. So Athena, she is the goddess of wisdom, as many people know, but her affirmation, the mantra that I created for her, is that I turn knowledge into action, because she embodies strategy. She's the goddess of civilization. And when you think about civilization, what is it? It's manifestation. It's humans coming up with an idea, with a vision, and then executing it and having this bigger scale plan as to how to expand human consciousness. So Athena helps us download the information of what are the desires that are truly beneficial for our purpose and our collective purpose. And then Hephaestus, the male equivalent of Athena, he brings in the practicality of things, the let's get down and dirty and do the actual work and create something and bring something into creation. He encourages us to take action. And I like to think of Hephaestus, like, mythologically, he's portrayed as the god of steelwork and metalworking, etc. But when you take that and apply to today's context, he's the god of technology and AI. Mm-hmm. So we can work with Hephaestus in that way. Now, with abundance specifically, I like working with the combination of Hades or Pluto. They are the two aspects of the two sides of the same coin. Demeter. And also Persephone. They're all very related. And you can see how mythology comes into it, because Persephone is Demeter's daughter mythologically. And the myth goes that Hades tricked her into going into the underworld. And long story short, she has to spend 6 months in the underworld and then 6 months overground with her mother, Demeter. Now, what this symbolizes energetically, it's very aligned with the wheel of the year. How in the winter, like, nature withers, and then in spring and summer, nature flourishes in the same way that our desires can flourish. So by working with Persephone, who is both the goddess of the underworld and the goddess of spring, we embrace this duality, this polarity of manifestation, divine masculine and divine feminine, and we can work in the winter months with this energy of nurturing our desires and working behind the scenes to manifest, whereas in spring and summer months, we can work with Persephone as the queen of spring and Demeter to move forward, take action, create abundance, and enjoy the fruitfulness of nature. And when it comes to love, of course, it's Aphrodite. She's a goddess of love, of beauty, of sex. And what I love about Aphrodite, she doesn't distinguish between spiritual love and physical love, because in the spiritual community, we love talking about spiritual love, agape. And it's this like high vibe energy. But Aphrodite, she will get down and dirty.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
As well. She's about embracing sensual love and sexual love and flirtatious love and self-love and, of course, spiritual love. And that's the beauty of working with Aphrodite. She helps you express and embody all aspects of sexuality and love. That's why the affirmation, the mantra that I created for Aphrodite is, I embrace all expressions of love. Mm-hmm.
I love that. So powerful and so exciting. And so I'm guessing throughout the book, we've got like affirmations and different tools and practices.
Yes. So basically in each of the gods chapters, they have the same kind of structure. So there is a part where I explain the essence of the god, a story of how I met the god or the goddess, the virtues of the god. So I bring in some ethical philosophy here because each god and goddess have their own virtues. Mm-hmm. And when we embrace those virtues in our day-to-day life, that's how we align ourselves with the energy of the gods. For example, Aphrodite's virtues are friendship and generosity. And Athena's virtues are fortitude and quickness of mind. And Demeter, for example, she's all about endurance and prudence. So when we work on these virtues every single month, then we embrace the qualities of the gods. I also have a section about connecting with the gods out in nature because they are like earth-based spirits and functions. There's a section about mantra, and all the mantras start with I am or I, because I want to communicate that the gods are not separate from us. And when we affirm I am light, for example, I connect with Apollo in that way. There's a section about symbolism. There is the Orphic hymn of each god. These are ancient hymns, ancient religious hymns that have been practiced since the ancient times, translated to English so that everybody can work with that. A meditation activation to work with the god, and of course, a ritual to connect with the gods every single month.
Love that. Super, super practical, which was really good. So can you share some simple rituals and practices for working with the Greek gods and goddesses, like we said, on a daily basis?
Yes. So my favorite way of working with the gods and goddesses is by setting up altars. And I have a main altar in my house where every single month I change the statues and the layout to vibe with the god and goddess of the month. And it's very important that we have both a god and a goddess on the altar. Because when I first went into this, I'm like, oh, I'm going to learn all about the goddesses. And I go there and they're like, no, 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 no. We don't just honor one goddess or one god. It has to be balanced between a male and a female deity. And that's what I love about Greek polytheism. It is very balanced. It's not just about the divine feminine or the divine masculine. It's both. So we have a main god and goddess of the month. And then the simple practice of just setting up the altar and lighting up a candle at the beginning of the day is a great way to start connecting with that god and bring that energy into your body and your essence. Because what are altars? Altars have been created by humans since the beginning of time. They are bridges between the profane and the sacred. They are portals of communication with the gods. The gods couldn't care less about the altars or the offerings. We care about connecting with them. And therefore, by setting up the altar, we open ourselves up to their energy. So we reach out so that we can connect with them, but they've already reached out. They're constantly reaching out. So it's a matter of us reaching out to connect with them.
Which is just like manifestation, isn't it? Really, you have to ask to be able to connect. You have to ask to receive. You have to ask, you know, it's just like with angels as well. You know, they can't intervene. There has to be free will of, you know, opening up and connecting and starting that communication. So I love that because it all really flows so easily into what we're doing anyway and what we're connecting to anyway. And it's lovely that, you know, we can integrate them into our daily ritual or practice so easily and make it intentional and have fun creating these altars as well. It sounds lots of fun. So you mentioned earlier, George, about the new moon and full moon rituals. So I'm probably going to butcher this pronunciation, but tell me more about Neumenia, the ancient Greek new moon manifestation ritual.
That was very like correct the way you pronounced it. It's called Neumenia. So the new moon was reportedly the most sacred of all days of the month. So the ancient Greeks followed a lunar calendar. So they followed lunar months with the new moon, the Neumenia, being the first day of the month. And each day of the moon cycle had a different name and was dedicated to a different god or goddess. So whereas now we only celebrate new moon and full moon, they almost celebrated all phases of the moon, which is fascinating thinking about that. And plants and farming and different activities were all aligned according to the energies and the transitioning and the expansion of the moon cycle, which is fascinating just to realize it, how tied it was to manifestation. So on Neumenia, on the new moon, what basically they did, we don't know much, there is little information available, but from what we know, they took that time to set intentions. No public ceremonies or different like state activities could take place. It was a sacred day. So people would just replace the offerings of their altars. They would clean their altars, clean their houses, declutter, just set the stage for the new month ahead. So what I've done is I've taken that information and I've brought in manifestation. So I've created a manifestation ritual that it's not ancient Greek. It's based on ancient Greek practices, but I made it my own by setting intentions on the new moon, with working with the gods and goddesses, and then releasing those intentions during the full moon. And I want to share this simple practice because it's so easy to do so. So, I mean, listeners right now, you have your own manifestation ritual. So you don't have to do something completely different. You just have to bring this in if you want to, if you feel inspired to. We can bring in the goddess of luck called Tyche in Greek. And you may know her as Fortuna, the goddess of fortune, who is the equivalent of in the Roman calendar, which is very similar to the Greek one. And in the book, I included the Orphic hymn to Tyche, the goddess of fortune. And when you write your desires during your new moon wishes, essentially, before you just like, I usually write them on a piece of paper and just let it on my altar and I let it sit there. Or you may do something else with it. But before you do whatever you want with it, you can light up some incense and read the Orphic hymn to Tyche, to fortune, while holding that piece of paper and having it over the smoke. Don't burn it. Just have it over the smoke. And this is symbolic of allowing the frequency and the energy of your desires to rise up with the smoke to the gods. And therefore, you're releasing your desires to the gods, allowing them to manifest. And this is an ancient Greek practice. When you think about incense, smoke, it's this ethereal substance, and as it moves up to the sky, it's like you're reaching the gods, you're communicating with the gods. That's the symbolism of it. So it's a beautiful way to incorporate the Greek gods and goddesses into your manifestation practice. And then in the full moon, you can do what you want with it when it comes to like burning them, etc. And what I like to do during the full moon, and I talk about this in the book, I work with goddess Selene, who is the embodiment of the moon essentially. And when I do my gratitude and my releasing, I read the Orphic hymn to Selene, among other gods. But you can start with Goddess Fortune, Tyche, and Goddess Selene for that.
Love that. Powerful. And like you say, even just the Yeah, like the energetics of the smoke rising, like it makes total sense that it would like carry those to the universe, to the gods. And it's just, it makes it intentional, doesn't it? It makes it more focused and intentional of just, instead of just thinking, well, I'm writing these intentions for myself, or I'm just writing it down, you know, for the sake of it. It's purpose, there's intention behind it, which I really like, because I think that, as we know, amplifies the manifestation process so much more. So George, you've spoken about the Greek Wheel of the Year a few times already. So we're mostly familiar with the Celtic one, of course. Today, as we're recording this, it's spring equinox. So what are the key differences between the Greek Wheel of the Year and the Celtic one? And, you know, what should we be following?
Yeah, so you can follow whichever one you want to, because essentially all pagan cultures, what they do is they've expressed their relationship with the earth in their own way, based on their own temperament and culture and language and their relationship with the earth. So they're all interpreting the same kind of energies in just different ways. That's why you see commonalities between the different gods and goddesses of different traditions. When you think of God Ra, for example, the Egyptian god Ra, he's very similar to Apollo, the god of the sun. When you think of the Celtic goddess Rhiannon, you can compare her to Aphrodite. They have similar frequencies because the laws of the universe are the laws of the universe. You cannot change them. It's just how did people relate to them. And at the same time, in different parts of the world, seasons are different. So, for example, in ancient Greece, the spring and summer months were way longer than the winter ones. And therefore, it makes more sense to have a different kind of variation when it comes to the kind of festivals. But they all follow the same kind of wheel around the seasons of the earth. So the Celtic one has 8 festivals. The Greek one has 12 festivals, starting in January, which is all about setting intentions and starting a new spiritual journey and a physical journey on the earth. And then how that unfolds around the year according to the changes. So we start with Theogamia in January, which is all about the balance of masculine and feminine energy, celebrating Hera and Zeus, the parents of the gods. Then we go into February with Anthesteria, which is all about spring, the beginning of things, the really starting point of spring. And then we go into March, Asclepia, the spring equinox, when spring really takes off. Then we go into April, Charisia, Aphrodisia, all about Aphrodite and bringing in this manifestation power of creation that Aphrodite brings. Then we go into May with Thargelia, which is celebrating Apollo and Artemis. It's all about the balance of light and the purity that these gods bring into the world. Then we have the summer solstice in June. Then we go into the Dioscuria in July, the Hera in August, the autumn equinox in September, Heraclea in October, Memacteria in November, and then the winter solstice, where we end this spiritual cycle. We offer gratitude for all we've been through in the year, and we prepare for the new spiritual journey starting again in January.
I love that. And is there a focus? Because obviously in the Celtic Wheel of the Year and obviously astrology, it's like basically new year, like yesterday, the 19th of March was kind of like the new astrological year. Is there any focuses in March with the Greek wheel, which is kind of like that new beginning as well?
There is one, but if I'm honest, the focus of the Greek wheel of the year when it comes to like the beginning of the year is January. Mm-hmm. And it's not because that's what the ancient Greeks did. It's because the modern Greek polytheists decided to adopt and adjust that ancient calendar to modern life. And therefore, they aligned it with that. But if you think about the energies as well, they are aligned. Yes, spring is new beginning, but at the same time, we have to set new intentions for the new beginning. And that starts in January. Mm-hmm. And when you think about the winter solstice, because it makes sense, like when you think about it geographically, like what happens with nature, the winter solstice, which we call Triesperon, and it literally translates to 3 nights or 3 waiting periods, 3 waiting days. The reason it's called that way is because the length of the night and the day stay the same for 3 days before the day starts growing again. And we celebrate that as the birth of the sun, Sunmas. And the Christians celebrate it as the birth of Jesus. It's the same kind of thing. It's the birth of the light. And that happens in December, like 24th, 25th of December. So that is the beginning, essentially, of a new spiritual journey, because that's when the sun is born. And then it gathers momentum in February, and then really kicks off with the spring equinox, which is why the Celtic culture, for example, celebrates that as the beginning of the year. But really, the sun is born 24th of November, oh, sorry, of December. So that's where it is.
Mm-hmm. Makes sense, definitely. Well, before we wrap up, George, and I'll ask you the ultimate question at the end of the podcast, let's talk about the new book. So by the time this comes out, it's already live in the world. But where can we get it and what can we expect?
So Secrets of Greek Mysticism, a Modern Guide to Daily Practice with the Greek Gods and Goddesses, is out. You can get it on all online retailers and everywhere books are sold. And if you go to GreekMysticism.com, when you get the book, you also get a free workshop with me, which is a journey to meet your guardian Greek god or goddess. As I said earlier, the focus of the book is theological rather than mythological, meaning that I talk about the true essence of the gods and goddesses rather than the myths behind them, although I do refer in the myths, with the aim of embodying the gods and goddesses to manifest your desires to live your best life.
Love that. And you will all absolutely love it as much as I did reading it. So go and get a copy. But George, what is one piece of life advice that you'd like to leave my lovely listeners with today?
So when I was finishing writing this book, it was last year, and I found myself in a very interesting place. I was preparing for drama school exams. I was rehearsing for Mamma Mia. I was trying to finish this book. I was trying to have a life. And I had abandoned my spiritual practice. I had abandoned my rituals. And there I was telling people to have like a daily ritual or a monthly ritual. And then twice a month, you do like your new moon and full moon. And I was not following that. And I felt like such an imposter. And as I was going through that, I found my notebook from the time that I trained in Greek polytheism back in 2017. I was going through the notes. And I read something that my trainer said. And he said that we don't need to go out there and search for the gods and search for the divine. We just have to realize that we are all swimming in this ocean of the gods, and therefore the gods are there. We just have to stop and realize that. So in that moment, I closed my eyes, I placed one hand on my chest, and I said, I am aware. And in that moment, that simple moment of awareness and mindfulness got me aware of my divinity. And in that moment, I realized that I am part of the gods. The gods are here. I don't need all these fancy tools and rituals. Of course, they're great. And when you do them, they work and they're amazing and they can take you to such a high level of connection. But they're not necessary if you don't want to use them. You just have to close your eyes and become aware of your divinity and your inclusion within the gods. So my piece of advice would be for everyone right now to take a moment, close your eyes, place one hand on your heart and say, I am aware, and see what you become aware of.
Love that. Amazing as always. Thank you so much, George. So where can everybody find you if they want to learn more about your work?
So you can come find me on Instagram at George Lizos and my website, georgelizos.com.
Amazing. And we'll put clickable links down below for ease as well for you all. But thank you so much, George, for coming on. As always, it's such a pleasure. And I have learned so much today as always. So I'm sure that everybody listening has taken away so much from this as well. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Emma. I so appreciate you.
So thank you so much, gorgeous souls, for listening today. I really hope you've enjoyed George and I's conversation. As always, you can find a clickable link to George's work in the description below. And if you want to find out anything more about myself, my books, my videos, or anything else that I have to offer, you can find it all at emmamumford.co.uk. So thank you so much, gorgeous souls, for listening. I appreciate all your views and listens. Don't forget to subscribe if you're new here, because I would love to see you again soon. Don't forget you can also join my free Law of Attraction support group over on Facebook, where you can join myself and other like-minded souls, where we talk all things Law of Attraction and spirituality. I hope you have a fantastic week, whatever you're up to, and I'll see you all in my next podcast episode, which will be next week. Lots of love.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.